Should he fall, he would retain enough self-possession to save himself. But there was no way he could bring himself to take the plunge voluntarily. Resigned, he looked back the way he had come. Home, such as it was and had been, lay 1,000 miles away, maybe a lot farther. They were passing over lands of which he had never heard, where all who saw it marveled at the great shape in the sky and had no idea what it was. There was no guarantee he would step into friendly lands if he did go over the side. In fact, the terrain below looked actively hostile. Hell with it. He had gotten himself into this. He would ride it out. Huh. He was an old man, but his eyes were plenty sharp. The high, clean air allowed him to see a long way. And up north, at the edge of discernment, when he looked at them a fraction of a point off directly, were 2 dots at an altitude even higher than that of the Windwhale. To be visible at all at that distance, they had to be the size of Windwhales. Bowman snorted. This monster was the vanguard of a parade. He chuckled then. There were rustles nearby, the natives disturbed by his amusement. He chuckled again and rose. This time he strolled the length of the Windwhale before he alighted again, as far forward as he dared go. The smoke was much nearer. It rose higher than the Windwhale. He saw hints of the fires that fed the column, which had begun to develop a bend in its trunk down lower. Grim. Maybe the rock was right. Something had to be done. This was the 12th such city, though the first they had come to still in its death throes. The progress of the insanity was an arrow pointing due south, a craziness that could make sense only to the crazy himself. The Windwhale began rumbling with internal flatulences. The horizon tilted, rose. Mantas piped and squealed behind Bowman's. He got a death grip on his seat. The monster was headed down. Why? It was not time to drop a menhir. It was not feeding time. Mantas hurtled past in pairs and squadrons, spade-headed darts spreading across the sky, headed toward the city and its coronet of circling carrion birds. There is a good wind running a mile below us, wizard. Bowman's glanced back. His scar-faced stone friend. If it holds, we will overtake the destroyer shortly after nightfall. You have only that long to prepare. Bowman's glanced around again. The stone was gone, but he was not alone. Darling and Silent had come to stare at the stricken city. The dark man's face was impassive, but Darling's was a study in empathetic agony. That touched the soft-headed, soft-hearted side of the old man. He faced her, said, "We will put an end to the pain, child." He spoke carefully, so she could read his lips. She looked at Silent. Silent looked at her. Their fingers flew in the speech of the deaf.